Let's start with the third big block of modules for our compiler construction lecture. This is another block on syntactic analysis, this time with a different concept of analyzing syntactical structure in token streams. This is now about bottom-up analysis. So the core, the fundamental basis of that is one principle or idea by Donald Knuth, which is the so-called shift-reduce parser. And the driving idea behind that is that in the current state-of-the-art parsers that we construct, we usually try to decide how to expand top-level concepts in the end, after a few decisions have already been taken, can only then verify whether we did something correct or not, and tried to make them more feasible by checking with like a prefix of the input that is to be yielded by that part of the tree. So this is by design an approach that very early on already forces you to do a few decisions that you, if you are really if you think a little bit more about that, that are very in the early phase of being able to determine whether to choose option A or option B. So if you think of the derivation tree that you're trying to reconstruct, you usually start from the start and then have already the first decision that you have to take, then the second decision that you may take, and then the third one. And only in the end, when you then reach input, you are able to determine whether the choices that you did here, here, and here were actually really correct. And as a way of making that more feasible, it was proposed to use a look ahead of limited size. So a prefix of the input is used in order to guide all these decision points until it's actually in the end really consumed. But still, what remains is that there are decisions done very, very early on in the derivation tree already, which could have an influence on a whole large subtree of the derivation tree that is responsible for a very large yield, with the help of looking at a very small fraction of that whole yield of the subtree. Yeah. So this is a thing that clearly bothered Donald Knuth. So his idea was, well, is it actually really a good idea to really definitely decide on which branch to take that early on? Or would it be a better idea to instead try to delay such a decision by, for example, some non-deterministic means of tracking both of those decisions at once, until we reach a point where we can definitely say that that was a good decision with respect to the input, which means his intention is like to do all the decisions that are necessary for that particular subtree non-deterministically in unison. And only when we reach like the end of a particular yield of a subtree, like maybe with blue, which would be like here, where we can make use of all the information from the start of the yield to the end. Only then we would try to finally fix the decision to one option that is plausible for that particular input. Yeah. And yeah, so that is the core driving idea of that. So this is an approach that is driven by looking a lot further into the input than beforehand for deciding all the options that led to this particular input. Yeah, then beforehand, what we would use would only be like this very beginning. Yeah, now we use a whole lot more of the input, not just like a it's even an infinite window as in contrast to before, where it would be like a fixed window of some size k. Yeah. Okay, so the question would be now, how can an approach provide that? What would be an idea that would follow this concept? And this is where now this so-called shift-reduce parser comes into the center of interest. So there we would construct a machine for a particular grammar that would, here in our case, provide reverse or rightmost derivation. Yeah, so that's that kind of an automaton. That's why we were so eager on talking about kinds of derivations. So the shift reduce parser, now back to the topic, is of a very, very simple nature. So all it does is it shifts the input successively to the pushdown. So one token after the other is taken from the input stream and just shifted on the pushdown, only to be interrupted by a second core mechanics of the shift reduce parser, which would be the detection of so-called handle or complete right-hand side, in other words. So handle is the word that we use for complete right-hand side. If we find such a thing sitting atop of the pushdown, we have found a situation where we have found proof enough that the input matches, or so far has matched, a particular structure, such that we can then fix this into assuming that that structure has occurred in the input, and finally do the according reconstruction of the syntax tree by a so-called reduction. This is this reduction part, which means that all we do is we replace this handle by the left-hand side of the rule that was showing this handle as right-hand side. Yeah, so we rewrite it backwards, thus we reduce. So these are the two concepts. That's why the whole thing is called a shift-reduce parser. So apart from this very informal introduction into that, let's have first an example so that you somehow get to understand better what I mean with that. So the example is again the grammar that we also used for LL parsing. This is this very simple one. S goes to AB and both of them are replaced with their terminal counterparts. So for an automaton construction, we now need to specify what states usually there are. And since we said that the input needs to be shifted to the pushdown, pushdown must be able to contain the terminal symbols. So terminal symbols are valid states in the whole thing. Then there was this other concept that would consist in rewriting things with their left-hand side, depending on the rules that there are. So for that, for these reductions, we also need non-terminals to be valid items on the pushdown. And with that, we already have most of the states that we need, and there's some technical states like the start state and the final state, which are explicitly constructed different from all the other elements. So that is everything that we need in terms of states. The question is now, what are transitions? And these are the ones that we see here. So what would be done is, well, there is for once the shifting ones, where we shift input to the pushdown, like here, from start state we shift A, some other state we shift B. Yeah. Then there's other ones that do reductions, which are independent on the input. So there's usually epsilon transitions, like this one, doing a reduction corresponding to this production. This one here corresponding to this one. And this one here corresponding to this one. But just the productions in reverse. Right hand side is exchanged for left hand side. And finally, there is more like a technical one here, when we have found that the only thing that remains is the start state with our root node, root symbol on the pushdown, then we have a complete derivation starting from S, and that's a motivation for us to go to final state. So, how does the construction look like in detail? So, a more formal construction now is that we create an automaton that is the following quintuple, with the state set being, as we have mentioned, the terminals and the non-terminals together with two technical states, the final state being just this F state, and then our set of transitions, the delta set, which is, well, like generated depending on how the original grammar looks like. So one kind of transitions we said would be the shift transitions. So they would be the ones created for all the terminal symbols that there are, together with all the states that there are. We would support the a transition that just shifts this terminal that we're talking about right now about to the pushdown. Yeah? So it's just wild cross products between terminal symbols and state symbols. All of these things lead to shift transitions. Then there's reduced transitions. They are introduced for all the productions found in the production set. And what they are all about is what you see over there. The right-hand side of a production, when this is on top of the pushdown, we replace with the left-hand side of said production, like this, without consummation of anything. So for each production alternative there is, you find that there is one according reduction, production, reduction. Yeah. So the only thing that then remains to have is this final step, the finishing transition. Okay, so with that, let's have a look at an example, which would be like this computation here. So there we find, we start with our initial state Q0 and some input. Let's assume just like this AB thing. Good. So what can we do? Well, in Q0, we can't do a whole lot, and that's not a right-hand side of a production. Oh, maybe I should annotate what grammar that actually is, so that you don't get confused. So this was like this grammar. S goes to AB, A goes to A, and B goes to B. So Q0 is not a handle, not a right-hand side of a production. So the only thing that remains to be done is shifting. So we shift. A goes to shift, so it appears in the next configuration on top of the pushdown and misses in the input. So now what we have is we find that there is an actual right-hand side of a production on the pushdown, namely for this one. We find that that is on the pushdown, which will lead to replace or reduce according to the production with upper case A, which will lead to this pushdown content. Okay? So then, with A alone on the pushdown, we can't do a lot. So the only thing that remains there to do is focusing at shifting. So we will do so, shift B, which misses then the input in the next computation step and is present at the top of pushdown on the other side. So here, with lowercase b, you find that this is a right-hand side of a production, that produces, that expands b. So what we then do is we reduce instead of produce, and this will lead for b to be rewritten to uppercase b, which then will end up at the top of the pushdown. Yeah. Okay. So with that on top of the pushdown, we might now wonder what to do now. And turns out, AB is another right-hand side of a production. This one here. So this is going to be rewritten with the according left-hand side, which is this S thing, little ding, S. And now we find ourselves in the comfortable situation that we have Q0 and S on top of pushdown, which will lead us to rewrite with a final state. Yeah? Okay. So this is how an example computation of such a shift reduce part works. A few observations on that is that when we look at the sequence of reductions that we had here, it was like this. S goes to AB. AB, this is the whole derivation tree. And what we had done first was this reduction. This is first. Next one that we did was this one. And last one we would do this combined one. So if we do that, this is like what we defined as the reverse rightmost derivation. So that is the result of the parsing run for the shifted use parser. So it constructs reverse rightmost derivations. Yeah. In terms of correctness, well, we would need to still prove that this is an actual construction that constructs an automaton that semantically accepts the same things as a language of the underlying grammar. And for that, we would again do a kind of structural proof by proving for all the non-terminals that there are that that the yield of these things, if you run the automaton until if you let the automaton compute, then it will consume the input and keep A on the pushdown. Yeah? And with that, you can piece by piece puzzle together all the non-terminals, also the S1, and with that in the end, then you will be able to prove the correspondence between those two concepts. One thing that we haven't highlighted so far during the demonstration of the example, all that is, I don't know whether you have realized that, is that this shift reduce pushdown automaton is like the item pushdown automaton was in general non-deterministic. So why is that? Well, each time that we decided to reduce the top of the pushdown, we could in at the same step also instead have just shifted further. However, shifting further would usually have meant that we wouldn't have prepared the stack for our example in a way that the whole system in the end would rewrite to S. However, still, it would have been a valid local choice and would have led to a different outcome. Yeah? So for one input, there's several outcomes of the run of such an automaton. Luckily, there is if you go through the correctness, you will see that one of the computations for a valid input will come with to the start symbol S. Yeah, but still, it's non-deterministic, so it's just one of the runs that comes there. So, what would have to be, well, another reason, for example, that that might be causing non-determinism is that if you had right-hand sides that are exactly the same for several productions for different left-hand side symbols, well, that's non-deterministic for the reduction view on that, as well as it's just sufficient that one of the production's right-hand sides is a suffix of a right-hand side of another production. That also is a cause for non-determinism. Yeah? So there's several reasons for non-determinism. So similar to what we did for the item pushdown automaton, the general concept is clear. We know what the general algorithmic idea of reconstructing the syntax of such an input works. However, what we still need to work on for it to become an actual practical implementation is that in case of the shift-reduce parser, we also want to get rid of non-determinism, which means that we have to identify the computation states in which we want to do reduction. So this is like the getting rid of the duality of all the time shifting and sometimes just reducing. And on the other hand, what we also need to focus on, which is I think not written directly here, is that we need to clarify whenever we come to a reduction point what the production is that is responsible here and should be reduced. Yeah, so these are the two pressing matters that we need to clarify. And all of that is done in the general topic of LR parsing, which is like the general theme for the complete rest of this